ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमा देवी सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नास्तप्रेषु मदेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नासिकी। So today reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21, text from 1 to 4. Yeah, I'm going to read it from text 1 to 3, the Sanskrit translation by myself, and then we read together this verse, that is the fourth that is in there. So, Maitreya Vacha Maukitikai Kusuma Shakbi Dukulai Svarna Toranai Mahasura Bibi Dupai Manditam Tatra Tatra Vai. Translation: the great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the king entered his city, it was very beautifully decorated to receive him with pearls, flower garlands, beautiful cloth, and golden gates. And the entire city was perfumed with highly fragrant incense. So there is a short purport by Srila Prabhupada. Real opulence is supplied by natural gifts such as gold, silver, pearls, valuable stones, fresh flowers, trees, and silken cloth. Thus the Vedic civilization recommends opulence and decoration with these natural gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of the mind, and the entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. King Prithu's capital was decorated with such highly opulent decorations. So text number 2. Chandana Guru Toyadra Ratya Chattvara Margavat Pushpak Satta Palaistokmai Lajai Archibir Architam. Translation: fragrant water distilled from sandalwood and a guru herb was sprinkled everywhere on the lanes, roads, and small parks throughout the city. And everywhere were decorations of unbroken fruits, flowers, wetted grains, dried minerals, and lamps, all presented as auspicious paraphernalia. Text number 3. Savringai kadali stambai puga potai pariskritam Tarupalava malabhi sarvata samalankritam. Translation: at the street crossings there were bunches of fruits and flowers, as well as pillars of banana trees and betel nut branches. All these combined decorations everywhere looked very attractive. Then text number 4, repeat please. Prajas tam dipa balibhi Sambrita Shesha, Mangalai, Abhyu, Mrishta, Kanyash, Cha, Mrishta, Kundala, Manditaha, Prajastam Dipapalibhi, Sambrita Shesha Mangalai, Abhyu Mrishta Kanyascha, Mrishta Kundala Manditaha, Prajastam Dipapalibhi, Sambrita Shesha Mangalai, Abhyur Amishta Kanyascha, Mrishta Kundala Manditaha, Prajastam Dipabalibhi, Sambrita Shesha Mangalai, Abhyur Amishta Kanyascha, Mrishta Kundala Manditaha. Devotees, Prajastam Dipavalibhi, Prajastam Dipavalibhi, Samrita Shesha Mangalai, Abhyu Mrishta Kanyascha, Mrishta Kundala Manditaha, Prajastam Dipavalibhi, Samrita Shesha Mangalai, Prajastam Dipavalibhi, Sambrita Shesha Mangalai, Abhyu Mrishta Kanyascha,
please. Praja, citizens, tam tuhin dipapalibhi, with lamps, sambrita, equipped with, ashesha, unlimited, mangalai, auspicious articles, Abhyu came forward to welcome Mrishta with beautifully bodily luster, Kanyascha, and unmarried girls, Mrishta colliding with Kundala, Kundala earrings, Manditaha, being bedecked with.
So, translation Popopa is Srila Prabhupada. As the king entered the gate of the city, all the citizens received him with many auspicious articles like lamps, flowers, and yogurt. The king was also received by many beautiful unmarried girls whose bodies were bedecked with various ornaments, especially with earrings which collided with one another. Repeat, please. As the king entered the gate of the city, all the citizens received him with many auspicious articles like lamps, flowers, and yogurt. The king was also received by many beautiful unmarried girls whose bodies were bedecked with various ornaments, especially with earrings which collided with one another. So Popo, offerings of natural products such as betel nuts, bananas, newly grown wheat, paddy, yogurt, and vermilion cared by the citizens and scattered throughout the city are all auspicious paraphernalia. According to the Vedic civilization, for receiving a prominent guest like a bridegroom, king, or spiritual master. Similarly, a welcome offered by unmarried girls who are internally and externally clean and are dressed in nice garments and ornaments is also auspicious. Kumari, or unmarried girls untouched by the hand of any member of the opposite sex, are auspicious members of society. Even today in Hindu society, the most conservative families do not allow unmarried girls to go out freely or mix with boys. They are very carefully protected by their parents while unmarried. After marriage, they are protected by their young husbands. And when elderly, they are protected by their children. When thus protected, women as a class remain an always auspicious source of energy to men. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timirandasya gnanjanam shalakaya chakshuru militam cha tasmai sri gurave namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Vidyananda Das Goswami Tinamine Namaste Guru Hansaya Paramananda Medase Prabhupada Pramodaya Dustasiddhanta Nasine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prasatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, bear with me my English. I hope it is not any sin in any Purana to not speak perfectly English. I'm only kidding. So, as today we begin a new chapter, chapter 21, I would like first to make a review of the previous chapter and then a preview of this chapter. So the previous chapter, chapter 20, begins when the Lord Vishnu appeared with Indra Deva in the horse sacrifice that Prithvi Maharaj was performing. Because Indradeva had tried to steal one horse that so that King Prithu could not make 100 horse sacrifice, because he was afraid that the king would become too powerful and take his position. So then King Prithu and the Brahmas, they tried to kill Indradeva. And then Lord Vishnu came personally and told King Prithu, please forgive Indra, don't kill him. And Lord Vishnu preached a little bit to King Prithu. So then after that, Indra became ashamed, and he came and asked forgiveness to Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj embraced him and forgave him. So then it had a happy ending. Huh? Everybody happy, and after Lord Vishnu went back to the spiritual world. So then Jesus ends the chapter 20 when Lord Vishnu went back. So now this chapter begins when the Maharaj Prithu is coming back to his city. And then we can see how he is received, yeah, with many decorations. Only by hearing it we become happy. Imagine being there personally and seeing all this decoration, the scented streets and the golden pots and everything. So then after he went back to his city, he lived happily there for many years. And once again he began to do a new sacrifice. And before beginning the sacrifice, he gave some instructions. So then is the title of this chapter, Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. So then he instructed about the duties of a king, what a king should do, and also what are the duties of the citizens, what they should do. And by the end of the chapter, Prithu Maharaj begins to glorify the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And he says that he wants always to have the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees and Vaishnavas and Brahmanas in his head. So then this is a little preview of this chapter that we are beginning now. So I advise everybody to not miss, because we have instructions by Maharaj Prithu, and Maharaj Prithu is a Shaktivesh avatar. When he was born, he had the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his instructions are very valuable to everybody. So then the next point that I want to talk is about reception, that in the first three verses and in the beginning of the fourth verse is spoken about. And there is another instance in the Bhagavatam that about the reception when Krishna has returned to Dwaraka. And in that there is a verse where Srila Prabhupada explains the how is reception. And I'm going to read to you. The verse is, in each and every door of the residential houses, auspicious things like curd, unbroken fruits, sugar cane, and full water pots with articles for worship, incense and candles were all displayed. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the process of reception according to Ved Rig writes, is not at all dry. No, it's not only high, no, it's something more, no, substantial. The reception was made not simply by decorating the roads and the streets, as above mentioned, but by worshipping the Lord with requisite ingredients like incense, lamps, flowers, sweets, fruits, and other palatable eatables, according to one's capacity. All were offered to the Lord, and the remnant of the foodstuff were distributed amongst the gathering citizens. So it was not like a dry reception of these modern days. Each and every house was ready to receive the Lord. And then at the end, Srila Prabhupada says, without the distribution of food, no function is complete, and that is the way of Ved culture. So I think this is a very nice instruction for us to learn how to receive others. And it's not that it's only we should receive like this only the Supreme Personality of God, Maharaj Prith, or great personality, because the scripture says that uninvited guests should be treated as God. They should be received as God. So we should receive everybody to the best of our ability, according to the Vedic culture. And in the last, another point that I want to talk about is in the fourth verse, in the Popo, Srila Prabhupada says, when thus protected, this is the last sentence, when thus protected, women as a class remain an always auspicious source of energy to men. So many people think that in ISKCON we don't like ladies. But we can see the founder Acharya is saying that women as a class remain an always auspicious source of energy to men. So this is addressing women in a very, very nice way. It's not saying, speaking bad about them. So, but of course that before talking about that, I want to say another point that says here that there were unmarried girls in the reception of the Lord. And it is very auspicious. There is another example in the Ramayana about it, when the Lord Ramachandra was to be enthroned, make king, they were making the preparatives day before. And they didn't know what was going on in the palace, the conversation between Dasharatha and his wife, that she asked him to burn Ram to the forest. One day before the coronation of Ram as king, so he was very distressed about that and was imploring her, please change your mind, don't ask me it, it's impossible. So this conversation was going on, but outside the rooms of the king, people were preparing for the coronation of Ramachandra. And then there he said that Vashishta, he arrived with many paraphernalia, to auspicious paraphernalia to for the ceremony of coronation. And there says that one of the things that he brought was 8 virgin girls for the ceremony. So this is a custom that to make a ceremony auspicious, virgin girls should be there. And so about this point that I was speaking before, that the women, that they are highly praised here as an auspicious source of energy to men. Of course, that in the scriptures also there are other parts where it's not women is not regarded so highly. Amen? Even the scriptures, and even Srila Prabhupada sometimes speak a little bit in a way that is not pleasant for the ladies. But how is that? Because here he is saying that women as a class remain an always auspicious source of energy to men. And in other parts we see that the Shastra says better things in relation to women. So I was thinking about it, and then I was thinking that basically there are two kinds of women. One is putana, like women, and other is gopi, like women. So the putana, like women, their mood is to kill Krishna. They want to kill Krishna. And this kind of women is that the Shastra is against. And the gopi kind of women, they love and try to serve Krishna. So someone can say, ah, but nowadays no woman is trying to kill Krishna. Well, there are two kinds of killing a person. You can kill the gross body, or you can try to kill a person through going against his instructions. That's a way of killing also. If you go and try to put down the instruction of the person, you are in a certain way trying to kill the person. So those who, and in this age, Krishna appeared as Srimad Bhagavatam through his instructions. And if someone does not follow and preach against, he is trying to kill Krishna in a subtle way. Here says that, speaking about women, they are very carefully protected by their parents while in marriage. After marriage, they are protected by their young husbands. And when elderly, they are protected by their children. So if someone doesn't accept it, doesn't want to be protected by men, or preach against it, this person is trying to kill Krishna and has a mentality of putana. And persons that uphold it and try to follow it, although we are in Kali Yuga, although it's difficult, so this person, they have a gopi mentality. Okay? I think it's very clear. But the point, there is another problem. It's not so easy. Because we are in Kali Yuga. It's said that in other times that the devotees and the demons, they used to live in different universes. And then after, they began to live in the same universe, but in different planets. But in Kali Yuga, the demon and the devotee, they live in the same body. So then sometimes we will find some putana-like action and sometimes gopi-like action from a person. So then you cannot completely reject a person, and also you cannot completely praise her, because if she has these two sides, she has the demonic and divine nature. So the point is that we should encourage the gopi-like mentality in everybody, fan this spark, and we should not go along with the Putana-like mentality. Yeah, our movement is not against ladies. Lord Chaitanya, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came and he taught that the highest kind of worship is the worship to the gopis. And that was one reason why he took sannyas, because he was chanting the name of the gopis. Radha, Vishaka, Lalita, Tungavidya. And one of other students saw it and they began to criticize him. Why don't you chant the names of Krishna? Why don't you chant the name of the gopis? Then Lord Chaitanya became very angry and began to run after this student because he disturbed his mood, his ecstasy. And then it was a big thing because this student told other students and everybody became against Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya decided, I have to take sannyas to save these fools and rascals. Because that time, sannyas was very respected. And if Lord Chaitanya were dressed as a sannyasi, then even those students, they would bow down to him, pay obeisance, and they would have some chance to go back to the spiritual world. So, but then the point is this, that the highest kind of worship taught by Lord Chaitanya is the love of the gopis. And we are not at all against ladies. The point is also another problem that Kali Yuga, the persons, they are so unnatural. They have a lifestyle that is so unnatural. In their habits of eating, sleeping, and so on and so forth, that people, they are not people anymore. We can see in Kali Yuga that men are married men, and ladies are married ladies, and they, you see ladies that they look like men, and men that looks like a lady, because this is the influence of Kali Yuga and the bad habits. And people, they lost their natural condition. But by nature, men and women, they are not made to fight. They are made to work together in cooperation. And the highest truth is romantic, because it's Radha and Krishna. So, I think that is some, those are some points that I'd like to cover about. And I'm going to stop here. And if is there any question, any comment, correction? Rantarav Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Paramananda.